This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samuel Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
We do not know the portion that the Lord has given unto us in Christ. We are Christians, we've given our lives to Him, but we have not grown to the point where we know this is where He has planted me, not to be a church member, no, not to sit down and be a bench member, no. This is my portion, this is what He wants me to do in Him. This is where He has placed me. This is my calling in Christ. This is my assignment in the kingdom of heaven. This is my portion. Children do not get portions. You do not give your five-year-old child and say, oh, this is your portion. We give them a concept of assignment so that we can use that to prepare them for the future. So when your child gets a homework from school, it is not really the homework. It is actually trying to test his or her ability to dedicate himself or herself to our work, to take work seriously, to prepare his or her heart towards the future when he will become the CEO of a company and has to take work home with him so that By teaching him or her at 4, at 3, at 2, at 7, at 10, the concept of taking work home, you are training the child towards the future so that when the guy tells you, the child will say, oh, I have an uncompleted assignment, oh, I need to study for this, oh, I need to make this call, oh, I need to talk to this person, I need to complete my work. So the concept of an idea is what we give them as children. But the main idea, the main thrust of it, is what they deal with in maturity. Becoming a Christian does not mean, going to church every Sunday. That is baby Christians. You teach them the concept so that they get used to it. It becomes part of their programming, part of their synesis, part of their recurring activity. Oh, I have to be in church on Wednesday for Bible study, or I have to be on the program on Tuesday for Bible study. Oh, I have to lead a prayer meeting. Oh, I have to join them. But then you see some Christians, they will say, oh, I don't want any pastor seeing. I don't want to get familiar with pastor. I don't want to be familiar with anybody. I just want to attend service, you see. Sit down, listen to what anybody has to say. Pray and then carry my bag and go home. They do this for 20 years. And therefore, they do not even have an assignment. There is nothing to present to the Lord at the end of their journey. They assume that it is by church attenders that they are serving God. My God, my God, who thinks like that? you think it's by you did not open your eyes to the concept that the master has servants, and to each he gave a portion, he gave a talent, and he said, hey, do this. This is your portion. This is your talent. This is your gift. This is your assignment. This is your own. On this, I will ask you questions. On this, I will test you. On this, I will know if you've proven faithful. They say, oh, I've been faithful in the church for 30 years. I pay my tithe and offering there. Come on. You should know that Christianity is way deeper than that. God didn't come sending us down so that Jesus can start a religion. It is not a concept that you should even consider. You are no longer a baby. We do not give baby heavy lifting. They are there to depend on us. But we know that our duty is to raise our children up to the point where they do not have to depend on us anymore. Any parent that has failed to do this has failed in his or her duty to be a good parent. There are parents here who have 30, 40-year-old children who are not left home, are not married, are not done anything, but you are still the one paying their fees, taking care of them, unless the child has some health issues or maybe some issues that you know that okay, this nobody can do nothing about it. But if the child is a normal child, you have basically crippled the child's future by allowing the child not to launch into the world and fulfill destiny. By now, it is natural that when you raise a child who is dependent on you for a while, who listens to your teaching, who saw you cook, who saw you drive, who saw you go to the market, who saw you go to work, you expect that at a particular age, the child will continue in your footstep and he too or she will begin to cook, will begin to work, will graduate from school, will have his own set of friends, will get a job, will rent his own house, will move, and will have his own portion. You expect it. You do not expect the child to say, oh no, my children are not leaving my house. Oh no, I don't want to be alone in the world. I know parents who did that. And it was the wrongest thing to do. No matter how culturally ingrained the person is, you must allow your children to launch. And the same with the concept, in quotes, of being a good Christian. You join the General Assembly. You come to church. You learn his ways. You learn his word. And at a particular season, you receive your assignment. So, Gwenga, as I was praying yesterday, the Lord laid on my heart to focus on children. Some years ago, a lady came to me. She said to me, God said, children, children. And then I told her, I said, there are so many churches all over the world, but many of them do not have enough material for children. That children may be taught the gospel, the right gospel, not religion. That children will be taught the right gospel with the right language. That I'd searched for materials for children, they are very scarce. And the world needs the gospel to be preached to children, not to raise children with the mindset of sin and the consciousness of religion. When I hear many children pray, I just shake my head. Why? Their parents will hail them. They will say, oh, that child is very prayerful. That child knows how to pray. He learned or she learned how to pray from when he was young. And then I say, oh, let me hear the child pray. And the child begins to say things like, oh, the enemy of my father's house, all the enemies of our father's house. Anybody that says we will not be great in life, father, we send them back to sender. We kill them. We do this. I say, these children don't know how to pray. Sort of the mouth of babes and sucklings, he has ordained praise. He didn't ordain courses. He didn't ordain this thing you are teaching your children that you are calling prayer. This is Bible. This has nothing to do with God. This thing you have taught your children, especially African parents, you should take it out of their mouth. Their generation should not know. Should not know the suffering of Egypt that you went through. Your children must evolve far above your level. African parents don't pay attention to such things. They may have gone through some very nasty ordeal in the hand of family witches, wizards, and all those things, and they were praying because of the situation they found themselves, and they evolved this kind of fearful, evil agenda and evil prayer, and they are instilling the same on their children, showing that they do not think. When the children of Israel were in Egypt, the Bible said they were crying to Pharaoh for bread, not to God. They were crying to Pharaoh. Pharaoh was their, in quotes, their demigod. He told them, if you don't work, you will not eat. I will not give you straw. The Bible said they cried so unto Pharaoh. They sent delegations tomorrow to go and negotiate with him. Sir, please, our people are hungry. They will die. They won't be able to work. And Pharaoh said, no, you said you want to go. Therefore, you must learn what it means that I'm your God. I'm the one giving you food. In a city, you are working. But now you said you want to go. Hey, go and give yourself food. That was how Pharaoh treated them. It was recorded in the scriptures. Then they talked to Moses and they said, Moses, you have made our life more difficult. You have made our life harder. Moses, and Moses said, don't worry, I will go back to the Pharaoh and negotiate. And so Moses went to Pharaoh, and Moses released turned water to blood, released frogs, released many plagues until Pharaoh relented. Pharaoh began to give them food, but it was unto Pharaoh they were looking up to for food. That was when they were in Egypt. When they left Egypt and they got into the wilderness, there was no more Pharaoh. You did not hear them cry to Pharaoh again. They began to cry to Moses. Moses, we want to eat this. Moses, we want to eat that. They have been weaned away from Pharaoh now to God's messenger called Moses. It was another generation. So they had to rethink who they go to for bread. And Moses will give them water at Perizim. He will give them wine. He will give them food. He will give them this. He gave them manna. He began to provide for them. And so to Moses, they turned their attention. But when they were going to come into the promised land, the word of the Lord came to them. He said, you will not go to Moses for food again. In this land you are going through, you would eat what you did not even plant. For the first 3 years, you will not be planting anything. You will be building your houses and there'll be free food. And the fourth year, that's when you begin to cultivate land. I'm bringing you to a place of increase, a land flowing with milk and honey. So when they got to Israel, they did not look to Moses again for food. They began to talk to God directly, and they began to develop their relationship with God, and they began to eat. This is another generation. You know, we'll teach your children such prayers, and your children will memorize prayers that has nothing to do with their life or destiny. You are setting them back in history, and you think, I said, so we need to have to break this thing. We need to teach parents how to teach their children how to pray. A lot of children are growing up abroad and they are praying enemy prayers. Why? They don't even know the village. In fact, village does not even know them. My children, village does not know my children. My children does not know village. So why would I introduce village into their vocabulary? Why would I introduce witches and wizards into their consciousness? My children do not know these things. I grew up knowing them. My parents grew up knowing them. But my children should not know them. And they shouldn't attend churches where they introduce this vocabulary to them. These things are supposed to fade away. If you continue to introduce them to your children, they continue to be a real thing because you have introduced a concept to them that they will keep in their hearts. And then when they are growing up, begin to cast out any knowledge that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ, any knowledge that you introduced. There are things that are better. They are nothing. So why are you introducing them to children? So I explained to this lady last week, said, go, write books. Go back you. Write books. Talk to the Lord. Work on it. Write books that can teach children how to worship God, how to walk with God, so that the way I teach adults, I wasn't called to teach children. So I do not have the language, the lingo for children. So I said, can you do this? And she said, okay, she will try. A lot will have been a portion. She will have written that portion into great blessings. So she will try. I didn't hear anything from her for 6 months. Then the pastor's wife read that to me from Ibadan. She told me, oh, I've been trying my hands on some children's book, but I generally I want to write, but I don't know which direction. That's why I told her the same thing. And she has launched her books. And other churches are beginning to buy them. Because they can see that they are based on the word of God, They speak the lingo of children, and they have a completely eradicated all the things that weren't supposed to be there, but that religious consciousness has made many people put in their own consciousness of children. And so a portion, she has taken the portion, she has redefined it, she has run with it. What is your assignment? Oh, I have a teens ministry. I have a burden in my heart for teenagers. Then you begin to do something about it. On these things, you will be tested. Your works will be tested. If you have no work, you have no work. You just remember. I've been here for 40 years. I've been here for 30 years in a church. Yeah, but I give to people that are going for missions. I give to people to the body of Christ. Your contribution has to be more than money. So he gave seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Is that not the word of God that he gave unto men gifts? You cannot say, oh, I've been in Christ, but it means I've attended this church for 10 years. Then I left. Then I went to that one for 2 years. No. No, what is your lot? What did they ask you to do? Have you been faithful in it? No matter how little it is, says he that is faithful in little, there is a little. What? Where is the little? Where is your faithfulness in that little? Nobody has been called to be a permanent church member. You think God is bringing out a roll call, or is it what do they call that, a register to be reading number of times you attend? You think that God judges any man based on church attendance? I've met more faithful Christians who don't go to church. Met them. Some of us are shocked. Yeah. Many of us are so programmed to think that church is the four walls of a house. No. I've met Christians who are domiciled in countries where there are no churches. They're faithful and they're doing the work, and they're spreading the gospel. They have a very strong network where they spread the gospel, and you will never see them in a church building. And they're doing their assignment there with sponsored missionaries. And many of them will face off with their work in different locations. And they will do the work. And there is no concept of a church. They will go and do the work with somebody in his own house, sit with him, read the Bible with him, teach him scripture, teach people how to read and write in very local areas. So that is their portion. They are in the field. Ladies and gentlemen, I speak to you today and I ask you, have you found your place in Jesus? Where is your duty, please? I'll be a good soldier. I will die at my post. Where is your post? Where is your post? Where the Lord will meet you? Will he find you working? Will you find you working? Where is the place of your work? Where is the field he has asked you to cultivate? Where is it? On the day that the Lord would assemble with all saints, I will begin to inspect the work that has given unto us. What shall he find you doing? Shall he find you sleeping like one of the foolish virgins? Or are you going to say, I didn't know, I have no idea that there is supposed to be something I'm doing for the Lord, though. I just thought I became born again. I attend church. If you think that excuse is tenable, it would mean that you think that if you have children, when your children becomes mature and they don't do anything with their life, they just sit at home with you. You are going to the market, cooking for them. They are clocking 30, they are clocking 40. They are still eating in your table. They are still sleeping in your house. They refuse to make anything of their lives. It means that is the kind of parent you think God is, because that is the kind of parent you think is acceptable. And that is the definition of a parent that failed. Your children must be able to engage the culture and excel. They must engage the world of business and excel. They must engage The world, the society as a social system and excel. They must engage religion and religious people and excel because they are full of Christ. They must engage all the mountains of endeavor in life and excel. They must engage social media and excel. They must know how to do the right thing in every situation and bring out the excellence of God in them. Then we will say, oh, this child has proven himself to be astute, to know what he or she is doing. This child has matured. It is time to give this child his or her portion. Before he got someone to his father to ask for his portion. And the father did not hesitate to give it. Look at scripture. If a Christian goes to the Lord today to say, Lord, here I am, send me. What would you have me do? You know, when I asked that question some years ago, the Lord told me to start writing. I won't lie to you. At the time, I despised my portion. I was like, I'm giving people to become global pastors. People are getting evangelists. People are doing crusades. Billy Graham was doing crusades all over the world. I think he was doing the supernatural, attracting people from all over the world to Tulsa. I should be writing. I should be writing. Like writing. He said, yes. He said, write. Write the words that I will give unto you and give them to the world as written. And I neglected it. I mean, I will write. But I will not post it. I was saving it. I was thinking of how to make money from the writings. I was thinking of how to make money. So I said, I'll write a lot. You know, I'll make it a book. And then I'll go and sell the book so that I can make money. And then one day, the Lord came back to me and he said, no, I didn't say write to make money. I said, write to the church. Write to believers all over the world. Be writing. Write on social media. Write. Just write. And in my head, I was thinking, how would this become bread? How would this feed me? Because you are supposed to have your portion in Christ, and that portion in Christ is supposed to yield unto you bread. You may not need the bread, but it must yield this increase. It is part of it. You are not just working without any measurement of growth. It is part of it. Every endeavor that you have in Christ, you must see to know you are thriving, there must be results. You are raising missionaries, there must be results. They must bring in souls. Otherwise, how do you measure the effectiveness of their work? How do you know if somebody just sleeping on their duty and collecting free money? There has to be task, and there has to be tasks completed, and there has to be results. So how would this give me results? I was short-sighted at the time. When I began to do what the Lord said to do, I just noticed that it just expanded it from writing. Finally, it gave me opportunity to counsel people, gave me the opportunity to minister to people, gave me the opportunity to speak at international venues. From there, I just realized, my God, I thought my portion was small, but it wasn't. Till today, my portion is still writing and teaching, but I do it now with an understanding that if he gives you little and you are faithful, then he will give you more. Have you found your place in Jesus? Oh, he gave me songs to compose. Are you faithful in it? Are you putting in the work? You shouldn't be a Christian who neglects the altar that the Lord has given him, the place of his assignment, simply because he or she is not faithful enough to serve the Lord diligently as he should. If the Lord has said this is what to do, you stay with it, you do it, you expand it, you work on it. A Christian shouldn't be fickle. Otherwise, Your life will reflect how you do his work. If you're faithful in your duty, your life will reflect the faithfulness. Your choices will reflect the faithfulness. Your health will reflect the faithfulness. Your joy will reflect the faithfulness. You will see that the Lord will stand by those who stand by him. Always remember this. You must find your place in Jesus. You must find your place. You must find it. You must, this is my assignment. This is what the Lord said I should do. And you must begin to do it. It doesn't require you to say, oh, I need a loan from a bank. No, you don't need anything but you. This is what the Lord said I should do. I'm starting. The day he said I'm starting, you say I'm starting, you begin by developing the concept. How would it look like? You take your pen to paper. Oh, I want to start maybe a children's school or a children's book. I'm deliberately mentioning children because it's the least. Can say, oh, I want to develop a criteria for church workers. I want to develop this thing. You just come up, I want to develop this thing for business, Christians in business and career. I want to develop this thing for Christians in career. I want to develop this thing for Christian HR. There is always something to give to the kingdom. And when the Lord lays on your heart, you take your pen to paper and you begin to write. Writing is the first. He said, the vision. Make it plain. So you first write it. So you have an idea that, okay, this is what it is. I can conceptualize it. And then you take the next step and you take the next step. And before you know it, something that was just an idea at the back of your mind will become a mighty nation, will become a mighty river. You must find your place in Jesus. You must find your place in Jesus. Your place is not to be a sheep that is in one church. Deliberately being milked by one pastor for 30 years so that you grow up believing in pastor and not in God, not hearing from God for yourself. That is not your place. That is a place where you are serving, but you are serving another man's field. It is important to go to church. So hear me well. Go to church. And when you get to church, fellowship of believers, you have gone there to fellowship. You have gone there to interact with fellow believers and grow and be a blessing to the body. You have not gone there to be a freeloader. You have gone to church to be a blessing. You are in church to be a blessing. And while you are a blessing in church, you are fulfilling your assignment. Look at Paul, look at all the apostles. They go about fulfilling their assignment, and yet they are members of a church. It is important that you buy into the concept in the right order. As you go to your churches today and as you minister wherever today, I declare it that the clarity that the Lord gives his children comes upon you. That you realize the fullness of your place in Christ and you walk in it in fullness. That you are no longer at sea as to what the Lord wants you to do, that you do it diligently. Because you know you'll be tested on this. It is on this that the master will come back and say, come and give a report. And when you give your report, you will be found to be excellent, to have done as the Lord has asked you, and to have fulfilled your calling in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because you've answered all our prayers. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let somebody shout, glory! Glory to God! Glory to God!
Glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com for more inspirational content and teachings. God bless you.